right, we're going to continue in our one prayer. We are joining. We started last week, like I said earlier, with over 1,200 churches across the United States and even in other countries who are joining with the one prayer movement. This crosses multi-denominational barriers. As churches coming together, saying we're going to pray the same thing, we're going to do the same thing, we're going to speak the same thing. All the churches are using the theme, unstoppable, and every pastor can take that and preach whatever he wants to use with that theme. But we're going to continue in that theme today, unstoppable. Last week we heard unstoppable courage by Pastor Greg Korshiel from Life Church. Today I'm going to be speaking on the thought, unstoppable current. Unstoppable current. How many know there's an unstoppable current? Do you know that? Have you ever tried to stop a current? How many have ever been to the ocean? You may have been to the ocean before. I mean, when you're out to the ocean, you don't see a wave come and say, all right, wave, I'm going to stop you. It's impossible, isn't it? You ever try to stop the current when you got caught in the current, maybe swimming somewhere, got a boat caught in the current or an inner tube, or maybe you're swimming and you find yourself caught in the current, man, it will just take you until you can get yourself out of that current. Man, you're just going to flow with that current. Currents are very strong. Let me say today, there is a very much a current that flows out of Calvary. There is a current that flows from heaven today that we can tap into. There is a current that God is flowing out, and when we tap into it, we are unstoppable. There is an unstoppable current that God is flowing out through His church. It's the current of life. It's the current of miracles. It's the current of those who want to put their hands and say, God, I want to be connected to your current. Look at this statement together. When we want what God wants for the reasons that God wants, we are unstoppable. Let me say that again. When we want what God wants for the reason that God wants, we are unstoppable. When we say, God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I want to see your kingdom advance on this earth. I want this because, God, I know that your heart wants this. We become unstoppable. So as a church, a local body, when we put our heart with God's heart, when God says, I want you to preach grace, when God says, I want you to reach out, when God says, I want you to reach the children, when God says, I want you to minister to people around you, and we say, God, I want your heart, because your word is very clear about reaching people. When I say, God, I want to reach people, we become unstoppable. Yes, every one of us had different talents, and every one of us had different abilities, but in those talents and in those abilities, there comes a current through the Holy Spirit that God is wanting to do in your life and to make up for the lack that we may have. We become the church that is advancing. When we tap into the current of God, we tap into what God is doing and moving, we become the church that is advancing forward the kingdom of God. Scripture says the kingdom of God, what? Suffereth violence, and what the violent do what? They take it by force. It's an advancement that cometh. That we know that when you tap into the current of God, we are advancing forward to do God's will. Look what Acts 3:1 says. I love this story. The story here is set with Peter, John, and the beggar. And today, as you see the story of Peter, John, and the beggar, we see this right here is one of the most famous stories we've seen. Let's read it today. We're going to be looking at this story today and taking our message from this. It says that one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3:00 p.m. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those who went into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. But Peter looked straight at him, and as did John. And then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention. Expecting to get something from them, Peter said, silver or gold, I don't have. He's saying, money, I don't have it. But let me tell you what I do have, Peter says. Peter said, silver and gold do I not have, but what I do have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He said, walk. The old King James Version says, he says, rise up and walk, man. I mean, he says, get up and walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became what? Strong. He jumped to his feet. He began to walk, and then he went with him into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who was used to be sitting outside begging at the gate. called beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Listen, when we get into the current of God, things happen. When we get into the current of God, things begin to happen. I love this story. And today, we notice one thing about this. We usually look at the story from the viewpoint of the beggar. I've heard a lot of sermons and have even taught sermons from the viewpoint of the beggar. Today, I want to look at the viewpoint of Peter and John, if we can, just for a few minutes here. One of the first things about the story we realize is where they were at. Where did this miracle take place? Did it take place in the middle of worship? Did this miracle take place in the middle of the auditorium? Did this miracle take place in the middle of the prayer meeting? Where did the miracle take place? Outside, right? Outside the gates. So Peter and John were just on their way to the church, and outside the gates, before they ever got into the church, you know, out there where the greeters are? Any greeters want to say amen on that, okay? Out there where the greeters are. I mean, out there before they ever got into the church, it says this is where the miracle took place. And in our lives, sometimes we realize that the current that God has for us doesn't always want to flow through the service. The current that God has for us doesn't always want to flow through the pastor. That the current that God has for us, that God wants to use you and me and the person sitting next to you. He wants to use you just as much or even more than he wants to use me. Let me say that again. God wants to use you just as much or even more than he wants to use me. And he doesn't want to wait until we get into a big service to have to do it. He's not looking for one big thing. He's looking for those who say, God, I want to walk in the current. I want to walk in the anointing that even when I walk outside, and when people ask of me, I have something to give of them. There's something that took place here outside the gate. Ephesians 4:11 even teaches us this principle. It says, and he himself, is talking about Jesus, gave him some to be apostles, prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. Why did he give these gifts to the body of Christ? Look what it says. For what? For the equipping of the saints to do what? The work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. God has designed all along that you do the work of the ministry. He designed all along that every person in this room who is a Christian, that you would leave and you would do the work of the ministry. He's never designed it. Well, I just got to give him to Pastor Gene. If I can give him to Pastor Gene, then he can pray for him and God can heal him or God can save him. No, I appreciate those compliments and I appreciate your faith in what God's doing in your pastor. But let me say this to you. I got faith in you. I got faith in you. And if you'll just open your mouth, if you'll just open your mouth, there's times in my life that I was so nervous, John. Before I was ever a pastor, I was borderline a heathen. Okay? I was right there. That God would speak to me to do something, and I was so out of my comfort zone. But when I would do it, I remember one time, I was just a small kid, and my dad was complaining of a headache. We were in a car. We were in his old white truck. He's probably listening right now, remembering this story. And I was just a kid. And if you know anything about kids, one of the things that we don't like to do as kids when you're about 8 years old is you don't like to pray for your parents out loud, okay? You know what I'm talking about? Some of you may have a few kids that are special and like that, but, you know, as 8 years old, you don't pray in front of my kid, dad, you know? More or less say that God's called you to pray for your dad. I remember my dad saying, man, I got a real bad headache, and I remember the Holy Spirit speaking to me right there in the truck was driving down, even at 8 years old. And I didn't understand, but I knew God said, I'll pray for your dad, and I'll heal him. At 8 years old, and I said, Dad, I think God just wants to heal you, and I just want to pray for you. And I remember just praying for my dad real shortly there. And it wasn't 2 minutes, my dad said, son, my headache's gone. It's gone. He goes, it's gone right away. He just really right away, God took his headache away. And I learned at a very young age that in those times I feel most awkward about being obedient, that's usually when God really wants to do something. When God gives me a word for somebody to go talk to somebody and I really don't want to do it because I'm nervous that they'll receive it or what are they going to think about me? Am I going to say it right? It's in those times I'm really the most nervous that usually it's right on. It's usually when I go and do it, there's like, I just really need to hear what you had to say. It was exactly what God wanted me to hear. It's exactly what I was going through. How did you know this? I'm like, I did. It was just the Holy Spirit. And I didn't want to do it. But God was wanting to use me. And for all of us here, I will say this to you. God wants to use you every day. Not only inside the temple, but where else? Outside the gate. God's wanting to use you more so outside the gate. Because why? Because you now are what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. God doesn't live in dirty houses, does he? He says he has come to dwell, that your bodies are the new temples of the Holy Spirit. And so when you leave, you take the Holy Spirit with you. The Holy Spirit doesn't reside right here in the church service by itself. But we take it as conduits out, plugged into heaven, plugged into the Holy Spirit, saying, God, may your Spirit flow out of me. And when we plug into this conduit, into this current of the Holy Spirit, we plug into this current of comes from the cross of Jesus Christ. We plug into this current, we become unstoppable because God's power is ever flowing. God's power is ever flowing, and he's just looking for somebody that'll plug in. He's just looking for somebody that he can work through. He's looking for somebody who will be his agent. He's looking for somebody who says, God, I will use your power. Peter and John, they had this thing down, man. They were learning what it meant. God has positioned you where you are today, not only to be blessed, but to what? Be a blessing. God has positioned you where you are today, not only to be blessed, but to be a blessing. God wants you to be a blessing to somebody. God never intended for you to come to church week after week and just be a sponge. There's nothing wrong with coming in and soaking up the presence of God. There's nothing wrong with that. I love to do that. I love to worship the Lord. I love to come in and soak it. But listen, he never intended just to come in and soak it only. He intends for me to go out and wring it out, man, and give it away. I am to be plugged in. I soak in what God is doing so I can give it away to somebody else. I empty myself out. I refill myself back up. I empty myself out and I refill myself back up. Staying plugged into the ever-flowing current. As I'm being filled, it's going out. As I'm being filled, it's coming through. As I'm being filled, it's going to somebody else. How's that happen? When I am plugged in to what God's wanting to do. Let me say this to you. There's people at your work tomorrow who need to hear what God's doing in your life. There's people tomorrow who need someone to listen to them. There's people who need someone to sit and say, you know what, I understand what you're going through. Let me pray for you. There's somebody who says, I want to believe God for you and what's going on in your situation. God is looking for somebody to step up and say, God, I believe that you're bigger. We got to stop being one thing at church one week on Sunday, then we leave here being another thing on Monday when we go to work. Really. Being God's current means that we stay plugged in. We stay plugged in. And just because I'm doing a job, and yes, I'm responsible for other things, I still have something to give out. I still have something that God wants to do through me, even at my job. Well, Pastor, I'm limited to what I can do at my job. I understand some of your jobs, you're limited to what you can do, but you can do something, believe me. And you stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. God can give you words of encouragement to say. God can give you a smile to smile at somebody. God can give you just exactly what needs to be done when you stay in tune to the Holy Spirit. But that happens when you stay plugged into the current. You become unstoppable. Let's repeat this statement. Say, I am a connector. Let's think, I am a connector to the current of the power of Christ. I am a connector to the current of the power of Christ. I've heard people talk about their church before, and one of the things as a pastor that I love is to see people who take ownership in the church. And one time I heard someone speaking about ownership of the church, and they were talking about Destiny Church. And they were so excited about the church, and they were talking about what God was doing and things that were happening. And somebody asked them, said, well, what do you do there? And I said, oh, I'm just a volunteer. I'm just a volunteer. And inside me, that struck me so funny. Inside me, that struck a chord that I really didn't like, to tell you the truth. I think we should ban this church, ban this vocabulary from anybody who goes to church here or anywhere else. This word, I am just a volunteer. I am just a greeter. I am just a nursery worker. I am just a singer. I am just a teacher. I am just a children's worker. I am just an usher. I am just a greeter. I mean, all these things we use, I'm just a. No, you're not just a. Let me tell you this. Jesus Christ did not die on the cross for you to be just a. You're more than just a. That when you stay plugged into the current of God, that God uses you even at the greeters. that God can use you for everybody who walks through those doors. And when they leave, and every child that you touch, every note that you sing, every person that you have influence on when you leave here, God has not called you just to be a jester. I'm not just an attender. No, you're plugged in to the current. You are an agent of the body of Christ. You are an agent of God. He's wanting to use you to move forth this unstoppable church that he has. I tell you what, when we get this as a church, when we get this vision, when we get this spirit inside of us that God is wanting to use every one of us, when people walk through that door, from the time they walk in that parking lot, that they sense that somebody here is seeking after God, they sense that we have something to give, it changes things. It changes. Jesus didn't die so that we could become just a jester, but he died so we can become a connector to the Holy Spirit. Look what we read here in Acts 3:5. So the man gave them his attention, expecting something from them. He was expecting something from Peter and Paul. From John. Listen, he was expecting something from these guys. As they were coming in, he said, "Silver and gold have I none." But when Peter and John were coming there, they didn't have anything to give, did they, really? Financially, they didn't feel like they had a lot to give. But they said, "What I do have, I'm going to give." And this man was expecting something from them. That's what it says. He was expecting something from them. Today, as I read that, it really hit me like a ton of bricks. I wonder how many people come into churches all across America today, come in and say, "I'm expecting something. I'm expecting something." And I wonder, do we deliver? Really, do we deliver? Do we deliver something that's life-changing? Do we deliver something that's going to change their life? Do we deliver? How's that happen? When every one of us here say, "God, I want to be plugged into your current. God, I want to be your agent. God, I want to be a vessel used of you mightily. God, I want you to use me, whether it's greeting, whether it's doing anything in the church. Use me when I leave here on my job. Leave me. Use me, God, in my school. Use me, God, in my neighborhood, my family, whatever it is." We plug in and say, "God, I want to be used." There's something that happens. He came and he was expecting. He was expecting to receive something. And I pray that we never, ever, ever allow a spirit of complacency to come upon our church, that when people come in, that they don't receive what they're looking for. That we have something here. It's because we're plugged into the current. That we get plugged into the current, not only the pastors, not only the worship team, not only the leaders, but I'm talking about every person here. We come in, we're going after God in our worship. We're greeting people because we're excited they're here, because that person that walks through the door for the first time, that might be the next person that raises their hand for salvation today. That children that we take to the nursery, that person, children we take to the classroom, we're watching their kids today because their mom and dad may give their heart to God today because they can come in and focus in what's happening. When I come and clean this church, I'm cleaning the place so that people can come in and be comfortable and they can have their mind on what's happening, not about the mess around them. And when someone gives their heart to the Lord, it's not because of what Pastor Gene did, it's because of what we did together, because we're plugged in together and God's using us together. And we come in, we love people where they're at and we show them. And it doesn't start right here, it starts at the gate. It starts when we leave here. It starts all week long. That people see that we genuinely love God and that we have something to give. God is wanting to use you to give out, to give out. Do we deliver? Peter and John didn't have much when they were asked. But let me say this to you. All that I have, look at this statement on the overhead. All that I have is all God needs to accomplish his purpose. All that I have is all God needs to accomplish his purpose. They didn't have a lot. Now, I don't know if they were broke. They probably just didn't carry any money with them because they knew this guy was going to be asking for money. Like, no, he's going to be about 20 of them. And so maybe they just didn't bring money because they didn't want to give it up at the time, whatever it was. Maybe they were just broke, honestly broke. It says, "Man, silver, I didn't bring any money, but I'll tell you what I do have. I have something that's going to change your life better than any money I can give you. I know you haven't walked, but rise up and walk in the name of Jesus." he rose up and walked. And then what happened? People were astonished everywhere. People were like, whoa, this was a man who's been lame from birth. Because someone decided they were going to be a conduit. Because somebody decided that they were going to let God use them. God's wanting to use. Look at Acts 3:6. And Peter says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk. Get up and walk. So many times we focus in upon what we don't have. I think that's one of the biggest mistakes we do is we focus in what we don't have. You ever heard the expression, thinking out the box, outside the box? We do. We talk about that. And I think it's a good thing as a church that we think outside the box. We want to continue to think outside the box. We're not trying to be just another church that's doing the same thing. But we want to think outside the box at times and really not just be confined to tradition, be confined to what's the way we've always done it. So there's a time to think outside the box. But sometimes as Christian, we think outside the box too much. We think outside the box. If I only had this resource, then I would do this for God. If I only had this amount of resource, then I could do this thing for God. God, if I hadn't have messed up, then I could be a better witness. God, if I hadn't have made a mistake, then God, I could have done this. We always thinking outside the box. God, if I had just attended Bible college, then I could have been a pastor. God, if I had just done this. God, if I... And we're always thinking outside the box. What if I had this? Or what if I had done this? Or what if I hadn't have done this? God, you could do so much. And I say to you, that's the wrong thinking. That God's saying, what's in your box right now? What are you carrying in you now? Give what you have to Him and allow Him to multiply it. Allow Him to multiply it. God is looking for what you have to accomplish His purpose. David used what he had to defeat his Goliath. Moses used what was in his hand to deliver his people, God's people. God constantly is using what we have to accomplish His will. I've always said this before. You've heard me say it again. And I'll say it again today. That God takes our natural and He puts the super with it. And when He does, what happens? Something supernatural. God is looking for me to give what I have. He's not wanting me to think outside the box. God, when you give me this, then I'll serve you with this. No, God says, give me what you have now. It's the principle we find all through Scripture. Probably no greater time was it when the disciples came to Him in Matthew chapter 14. We see the story when Jesus was teaching the Word of God says over 5,000 people. And some estimates they believe there was 25,000 to 30,000 people that were there that day listening to Jesus teach. And they were hungry and there was no food. And so disciples came to Him and said, Jesus, these people are hungry. There's no food. That's what we're going to do. They were thinking outside the box. Let's send them away now so they can go travel and get something to eat. And Jesus looked at them and said, no. He said, you feed them. I mean, think about that. 12 men, you feed 30,000 people. Kind of bold, wasn't it? That was a bold statement. Jesus said to him, you 12. Yeah, you two. Yeah, right there. Yeah. Yeah, you shaking your knees. Yeah. I want you to feed them. But God, Jesus, all we have is this little boy's lunch. It's all we can find. He's got like two fish and five pieces of bread. That's all he has. Jesus said, bring me what you have. Of course, we know they brought what they have. He blessed it, and he fed the multitude to the point where it was overflowing, plenty left over. Why? Because they brought what they have. See, that's what God multiplies. God doesn't multiply outside the box. God multiplies inside the box. When you give God what you do have, He multiplies it to greater things that you can ever dream or think of. When you plug into God's current and say, God, I'm going to give you what I do have right now. Yeah, it's a sinner body. It's a person who's made some mistakes. It's a person who's failed. It's a person who's lacking resources. It's a person who's maybe lacking education. It's a person maybe who's lacking this and that. But God, what I have belongs to you. God, what I have belongs to you, and I'm going to be used of you any way you want to use me. God, use my life. When we find a people who are willing to sell out their life to God in a way that says, God, I'll give you what I have. God will take that and He will multiply it through His current. He will supercharge that. He will blow that thing up, and we'll see a move of God like you've never seen before. We'll see a passion for God raise up. We'll become a church that's what? Unstoppable. Unstoppable. When we learn to plug into the current of God, what God's wanting to do. There was a team I was on as a kid. As we're getting ready to close here in just a second. I remember playing baseball as a kid. I loved playing baseball. Out of all the sports, I was probably my least good sport I was at. You know, I wasn't as good as baseball as I was at other things. But I really liked to play, was decent. I remember one time when I was about 11 years old, I was on a team called Andy Ewing Toyota in Muskogee. That's what the commercial was. I still remember that slogan, in Muskogee. I was on their team, and we had a decent team, but our last batter was a kid who was probably the smallest kid that we had. I mean, the guy, if he got the wind blew a certain direction, we had to nail him down, okay? Because he was just flying through the outfield. He was so light, and I mean, as much as he tried, he could never get a hit. He was swinging the bat every game. He'd swing the bat. This coach would work with him. He'd swing the bat. And it seemed like we had just a good enough team that if we could ever get him to hit, it would get us over the hump. You know what I mean? We'd always seem to have the bases loaded, and he'd be the last out, or he'd hit into a double play, or I mean, nothing would happen. He'd ever hit the ball. It's like, oh, if he could just hit the ball, we could win so many close games that we'd leave people in scoring position. So our coach went to him and spent some time with him after practice one time, teaching him how to bunt the ball. Now, how many know what a bunt is? Anybody guys know what a bunt is? Bunt is, for those who maybe don't know about baseball, bunt is when you hold the bat, instead of taking a full swing, you hold it with two hands, and you get to sit there in front of the plate, and as the ball comes, you just barely hit it with the bat, laying it down, and you try to outrun the throw to first base, advancing the runners. And he taught this kid how to bunt. And I tell you what, this kid became the best bunter you'd ever seen in your life. He couldn't swing the bat to save his life, but every time he got up, he bunted. And you know what? Most teams could not handle it. They could not handle the bunt. They'd be running. They'd be the catcher. At that age, the catcher's trying to get the equipment off and get up there. They're slow and awkward, and the pitchers are running into the catcher trying to get the ball, and they could never throw him out. And I remember when that happened, it sparked like a winning streak went on because took us over the top, and we made a long run in the season tournament at the end, all because he learned the power of the bunt. Now, the bunt, if you know what it is by itself, really doesn't mean a lot. It really doesn't look like much. It's probably the most unglamorous thing you can do in baseball is bunt the ball. As far as, you know, you don't show off any pipes, you know, when you're swinging. You didn't come get a ticket to the gun show to watch someone bunt. I mean, it's just not happening, okay? Bunting is not the most popular thing to do. But this guy by the name of Skeeter, that was his name. Can you imagine? Skeeter, that was his name. Skeeter. Skeeter learned how to bunt. And when he learned how to bunt, our team excelled and went on to begin to win games that we've been losing close games before. We begin to win those games because they could never stop Skeeter. He was the best bunter, and he became on base more than anybody else after that time. He was always bunting. He was always bunting because nobody could handle the bunt. You know, I think it's the same way in our life that we see what we had to give is not a valuable thing. I can't swing the bat. I'm not strong enough person to be on the team. I really don't have a lot to give. I don't care. The only thing you can do is come and bunt. You get up and say, God, I'm going to bunt for you. God, I'm going to give what I can do. God, if I can only come and just serve you in a little area, I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to stay connected to your current. God, I'm going to use what you've given me to be a current to outflow, and I'm going to bunt, man, because you can take a bunt and you can make it a home run. That's how powerful our God is. God can take anything we do and excel it, but he's looking for somebody who's not afraid to bunt. See, Skeeter, he didn't care. He wasn't up there saying, you know what, I want to swing the bat. He was thrilled to bunt, and he was just as happy when he got his bunt base hit as though he had hit a home run. I mean, Skeeter's face would light up. He knew he was helping our team win. I mean, his attitude was such a great. He didn't care. He was so happy. He didn't care if the other team laughed at him. This guy's bunting every time. He didn't care. He's like, yeah, but you can't stop it. You know, he's just, whoo. God's looking for people that are not afraid to bunt. God's looking for people to say, God, I'll just do whatever you want me to do. God, I want to go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll pray what you want me to pray. God, I'll speak to who you tell me to speak to. God, I'll pray for who you tell me to pray for. God, I'll show love to people even outside the gate, not just in outside the church, but outside the church is really where people are looking. They're coming looking. They're coming looking. People are coming looking. Do we have anything to give? Do we have anything to give? My challenge to you, Destiny, today is that we stay plugged in to the current of God. We stay plugged into the current of God that flows from Calvary. And we say, God, I'm going to be plugged into your conduit, man. I want to be a conduit of your power to flow through my life. Even if it's just a small thing like button. Whatever this small thing I had to give God, I'm going to give. I'm going to smile at every person that walks through that door. I'm going to shake hands with every person I see that's new. I'm going to let them know I'm really glad they're here. I also want to love on people, man. I want people to know that we really care about their life. When I go to work tomorrow, I'm going to pray to God, what's something I can do to show your love to those around me? What can I do, God, to make a difference? Let's bow our heads today. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are flowing through us, God. And what happened through Peter and John is not limited, Lord, just to something that's a Bible story. But God, you said, greater things shall we do. Greater things shall we even do if we'll get plugged into your current. If we'll get plugged into your current. This is what Peter and John knew by walking with you and talking with you and learning from you, God. If they would just show forth a little faith, walk in your current, that God, you would do mighty things. So I pray right now today, Father, that you would do mighty things through your people. Today, if you're here, say, Pastor, I'm ready for God just to move in my life. I'm ready for God's current to move in my life. I want to stay plugged into God's current. Can you just raise your hand and say, it's me? Yeah, thank you. Say, I'm ready for God's current to move in my life. Let's stand to our feet this morning, can we? I want you to imagine your hands today as lightning rods, okay? But every time I lift my hands to heavens, that God's, man, he's charging me. Because I'm getting tapped into God's current. Now, I'm not talking about an emotional thing here. But I'm talking about a spiritual thing where you're seeing what God's doing in your spirit. That God, I am dipping into your current. God, I'm staying connected to your current. God, I want to get a hold of who you are in my life. I'm not afraid to bunt. I'm not afraid to bunt. I'm not afraid to do whatever it takes to advance the kingdom of God. And when we all begin to use what God's given us, the giftings that he's given us, I tell you what, the sky's the limit. We're going to rock this 4-state area with the love of Christ. I can tell you that right now. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. We're going to see God's love unveil in a new, fresh way as we love people. I hope people come through this door and they feel like, you know what? These people are just loving me to heaven, man. They're just making me want to be better. They're just loving me to be a better dad. They're just loving me to be a better mom. They're just loving me to be a better person. They just love me so much, it makes me want to be a better Christian. We should love people, man, until it hurts. Staying connected to God's power, mention to people. God, right now, let's just raise our hands to heaven so you feel comfortable doing this. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your unstoppable current of your Holy Spirit. God, you didn't die so that we could just be a I'm just this or just that. God, but you died so that we could have a relationship with the living God that flows from Calvary. God, you left your Holy Spirit here, Lord, as to be alive in our hearts, Lord, that we could do greater things. That's what your word says, that we would do even greater things that we would see today. Lord, this church would see even greater things. These body of believers would see even greater things if we'll move in faith. Lord, if we'll lay aside the weights of the world and begin to focus in upon you. God, realizing that every day I stay plugged into a current. I don't come into church just to be plugged in, but God, I leave and I stay plugged in. And God, every day you're wanting to flow through me. I pray right now, God, there's a fresh hunger. God, a fresh hunger and passion for you that's rising up within us. God, that we would stay connected to you. We would stay connected to you, God. And we're not afraid to bunt. We're not afraid to use what we have. We're not afraid to do what it takes to advance the kingdom of God. And I pray right now, the Father, your Holy Spirit, Lord, would move on every person here, God. Not just move us, God, but change us from the inside out. God, that you change us, God, moving our heart, changing who we are. That, God, when we walk out of here, realizing that we are your connector, God, we are the conduit of your power. And, God, you want to use me. You want to use me, God. You're looking for someone who's asking for something, and I have something to give. And that's only through the power of your cross and the power of your Holy Spirit. And God, I thank you, God, you're raising up a body of connectors, Lord. You're raising us up, God, to be connected to your Holy Spirit. That God, as we connect to you, we become unstoppable. All around the world away, God, people are preaching on that theme, unstoppable. God, may the kingdom of God go forth, Lord, and advance, Lord. Advancing forth, Lord, in power. In the name of Jesus Christ, we say together, amen. Amen. God bless you today. Thank you so much for being here. Man, I hope you guys are planning on coming at 4:45. Don't be late. 4:45. Child care will be here at 4:15. They'll have the doors open at 4:15 for child care. We'll see those who come tonight at 4:15, at 4:45 at the Bowen Alley. God bless you. Have a great afternoon.